Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 964. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, I am currently rooting for more hockey to be played, as I do every season. Because I love hockey. And even though I have no real investment in Florida versus Edmonton, I'm hoping Edmonton wins just so I get to at least see one more game of hockey before I do not see hockey for like 3 months. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of standard off-season stuff really at this point for most sports, so yeah, their break really isn't any longer than anyone else's. So yeah. Anywho, so that is going on. But Chris, I mean, we have spent the last couple of weeks maybe saying, hey, it'd be nice if we had some news happen, if we had something big happen. This past week, well, this time period that we normally cover here, I guess, Friday to Monday. There was plenty to be talked about, but nothing maybe quite like the Wyatt Six. I was quite confused because I'm like, why am I only counting five people? I was unaware of the fact that they were spelling it S-I-C-K-S. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I got it. Still confusing.
And I think the thing is, the sixth is the spirit of Bray Wyatt. Because that's where all that was leading to begin with.
I kind of got that vibe too.
See me be wrong, and Alexa Bliss ends up joining the group upon her return. But we'll see about that. That's a bridge that still needs to be crossed.
Yeah, you can. I mean, can you ignore that? I mean, you could, but I doubt they would. The history with Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss.
Well, they apparently they decided to murder Braun Strowman, so. I'm not sure they have any. They have complete loyalty to the Hall of Bray's old friends.
yeah, that is true. Bronson Reed, the only one to get out of his triple threat match without being apparently murdered.
Yeah. I guess he's making the money in the bank by forfeit. Chad Gable.
Chad Gable dead.
Just not a good night for him. Just not a good night for Chad Gable.
No, it was a real rough one, I would say, for Mr. Gable. I still don't know how to completely unpack all of what went on.
I really don't know either. I mean, you've got these horribly violent images mixed with reactions like, oh, isn't this so beautiful? Oh, this is such a great tribute to Bray Wyatt. They've got merchandise up 30 seconds after the show gets on the air. Even Triple H is, you know, posting on Instagram about how great this is. I'm like, he murdered over a dozen of your employees. what's going on here? I mean, it's a very, very odd, it's a lot of odd imagery if the intention is for this to be a babyface faction.
I mean, this is definitely more along the Karrion Kross lines, one might say, just to draw an easy-ish parallel.
Why couldn't they have killed him? Seriously. But yeah, there definitely requires a lot of follow up because once again they took out innocent staffers, they took out Chad Gable who's a heel, They took out Braun Strowman, who is a babyface, who was at one time a very close friend of Bray Wyatt, and Eric Rowan, who was, you know, was in the bunny costume.
No.
With a mallet. Like, well, not the first time he's carried around a mallet in his career. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, withhold probably a lot of judgment until I see how they follow up on all of this in the coming weeks.
Yeah, because, like, for as much as what happened, it felt anticlimactic. Like, is that? I don't know if
that's, I don't think doing... I wouldn't say it's anticlimactic. No. You really can't say that. I don't think you can think whatever you want, I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess I was trying to find the right wording for it, honestly, because I don't know if I think the reaction was more muted because of how everyone felt about the situation. Like, because like you said, like, everyone should be horrified that this many people died.
Obviously we're joking around. No one's gonna die. Everyone's gonna be. But that's the thing. Oh, it's, yeah, like, do Chad Gable and Braun Strowman come back next week and be in that triple threat match? Like, how do people react to this? I guess that's my question. Is because,
yeah,
we've been down these roads with Wyatt, with Bray. And they had those roads certainly had their ups and downs. And, you know, as far as how to, you know, taking all these wacky ideas and images and horror movie, you know, inspired scenes and translating that to a pro wrestling show and eventually, you know, getting in the ring and having wrestling matches. You know, there's definitely ways this can work, and there's ways this can be a complete disaster.
Right.
It does interest me that it feels like there's no one in this group that was previously important. They're keeping Braun out of it. You know, Alexa Bliss has not returned to be part of it. At least not yet. It's five people, one of whom had basically been out of the business for 4 years. You know, Uncle Howdy, Bo Dallas, you know, the leader at this point. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Eric Rowan, who'd been out of the company. Nikki Cross, who's been spinning her wheels for close to 2 years, it feels like.
Yeah, she was spinning her wheels so much she decided to get a master's, was it?
Yeah. Well, good for her.
May as well do something productive while you're not on TV.
Then we have Dexter Lumis that, you know, was basically a joke that stopped being funny and then was taken off TV for at least a year, it feels like.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And then Joe Gacy, who was active in NXT recently, but it also felt like there was nothing more there for him. There's not a main eventer in this group. There's not a shit at title contender, and maybe that's a good thing. Keep this, but that's the thing with the way they did this. I mean, there has to be some sort of follow up. There has to be some sort of punishment. There has to be some sort of battle that comes out of this. Braun was still feuding with the Judgment Day. Chad Gable has his own thing going on. How does this all now relate to what's going on with the Wyatt Six?
That's a very good question that obviously neither of us have an answer to at the current
moment. No.
But it does derail. Like, even, like, you've got to have some type of blow-off match between Chad Gable and Otis. Or at least... Even if it isn't a blow-off match, they need to come to some type of further conclusion with that story
I'm wondering
before it's.
if that was it. Because there's still no plan to have Otis get this giant push to never beat Chad Gable. I don't think. I think they're still in the Chad Gable business to an extent.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He might he might even win Money in the Bank. Although that's a tough match for him to win next week. Once again, but who's to say it's going to happen the way it was originally supposed to? Because once again, because of what they did here. I mean, my feeling on the Wyatt Six, even before what they did last night, was it can work as long as it doesn't overwhelm the shows.
Oh.
They keep the real main eventers out of it. It doesn't get too stupid. And when the bell rings, the matches don't suck.
Oh, please, no special effects. Just have a match.
Yeah.
Just
But then
that
again,
is
I'm
the
not sure if I
request.
want to see Dexter Lumis at or 2024 Eric Rowan have matches. And Bo Dallas not having wrestled in 4 years. And not being that all that good in the first place.
Yeah, that's like, I guess I wonder if this is one of those gimmicks that maybe they're gonna do an homage to Bray, and then it
Oh
just
yeah,
kind of has a
that's the whole
limited
thing.
shelf life, really.
Yeah, I can see limited shelf life, small doses. Yeah, they said don't overwhelm the show with it. I mean,
Oh.
especially certainly don't migrate it over any of it over to SmackDown.
Well, and yeah, that's it. Because Raw still and seems like forever will have this extra hour of TV, it seems like a better spot for them. Like
It is a
it would be
better.
such a short, it'd chew up so much time on SmackDown just because there's one less hour.
Right. No. Raw is perfect for it. And plus, Raw has the bigger roster. You could have them interact with B, C level people, and have that, and that would be fine. I mean, you don't want to interrupt, the main event stuff, especially heading into SummerSlam. It doesn't need to derail, Punk and McIntyre or Rollins, well, that's another thing we need to talk about.
No.
I'll say, Rollins, Priest and Gunther and the whole Judgment Day storyline with Liv Morgan and anything else that's, Chad Gable or anything else that's, of importance. If they're going to be heels, Braun Strowman level is probably the right level for them to feud with somebody, a popular babyface, but not someone who's in the title mix at all or the main event mix at all.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I could see the whole this attack derailing him from attacking Judgment Day. I mean, Judgment Day seems like they have plenty of storyline that they can go with without finishing the feud with Braun.
I mean, obviously some major things changed over the last week, which I guess then gets us into Seth Rollins is back, everybody. Apparently cleared to return in time for Money in the Bank, which nobody saw coming.
Yeah, this was one where I feel like there's always the hey, so and so's coming back, and there's some type of word leaks, and I am expecting maybe the Wyatt Six to kick off the show, and it's like, oh, hold on, no, that is Seth Rollins' music.
Yes, that is Seth Rollins, and he at first was going to enter Money in the Bank, but then he was interrupted
Talked
by one
into.
World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest, who talked Seth Rollins into challenging him for the title. I mean, they're doing the story that Damian Priest is insecure about his title reign and and wants to, you know, beat, you know, the former champions, the, you know, the top people, you know, clean in the middle, and it's still not happening. There's always chicanery in his matches, even if he doesn't want it. But you, at least he says he doesn't want it. So it's again, it's just, yeah. And of course, he's all intertwined with the whole Judgment Day story with Dom and Liv and everything, and how that's, you know, a big distraction to what's going on there. Yeah, so Seth Rollins is back. He is immediately challenging for the World Heavyweight Championship at Money in the Bank. And I am not liking Damian Priest's chances of making it to SummerSlam as World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, like Seth Rollins is one of those people where it's just like, why would you put him in this position to have him lose? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, he literally, we literally last saw him losing two nights in a row. And it didn't hurt.
Yeah. So
or he was already hurt, but you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah. Like finally actually taking the time to heal up somewhat. Because, yeah, I mean, WrestleMania Night 2 was this last time we saw him.
Yeah, it was the last time we saw him. Yep. You know, he took the bullet for Cody Rhodes and caused enough of a distraction that to give Cody the win. You know, he did his part. He was Cody's shield. Sorry. That I always tear up when I think about how masterful that was. I feel like they were building towards Priest just to defend his title against Braun in a match at Money in the Bank, just to get a win before SummerSlam and Gunther.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking the whole Rollins thing came to pass over the last week, but maybe I'm wrong.
No,
I might be wrong. Maybe it was in the plans for a while. Who knows? But I think Rollins versus Gunther, you know, at SummerSlam, second biggest show of the year in a stadium, I think that has a lot, a lot more panache behind it than Priest versus Gunther.
And
it'll be a better match too. Let's be really honest.
As much as I like what they've done with Damian Priest here, and his. I mean, it feels like he's going to eventually be the one to move out of Judgment Day.
Yeah.
I
mean, he can still be a featured player without the championship.
And I think that lends a little bit to what you're talking about. Like, Damian Priest is just getting there. They have had a solid push behind Gunther for 2 years now.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, like, Damian Priest can fill that role maybe next year. But this year, it seems like, especially with, like, I'm trying to think, what? With the Logan Paul LA Knight match, like, I mean, that doesn't, like, that's more of a special attraction match and not really a main event type match.
No, it's not meant to be a main event. It's a feature. I mean, it's for a title. Presumably, after all this time and getting this massive push and getting super over, it's still crazy that LA Knight hasn't already at least been the United States champion.
Yeah, I mean, when you only have to defend the championship every other PLE, it really helps your title length.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy that, you know, we're acting under the presumption the title is going to change and at SummerSlam, and it should. LA Knight should be a champion. It'll be a big moment. You know, yes, Logan Paul is from Cleveland or the Cleveland suburbs or however you want to put it.
Yeah, he's from the burbs.
Because I know, no matter what him and his brother try to say, they did not grow up remotely poor. they grew up fairly well off, I think. But he can always, Logan Paul can always play the,
Poor kid from Cleveland.
I used to move to Puerto Rico for fuck's sake, just to get out of the entire continental U.S. So yeah, he could say that, you know, I left this shithole a long time ago. He can play that.
Yeah, I do feel like he's played that card before, honestly.
I think he has played that card in Cleveland, yes. Yeah, him and the Miz both did when they were tag team, yes.
Oh. Yep. So
yeah,
would not be surprised to see a return to form in that regard.
Right. Yeah. So no, I mean, Gunther versus Seth Rollins is certainly a SummerSlam worthy co-main event.
Because I'm trying to think of, like, I guess that would be the other equivalent. Like, who is going to be challenging for Cody?
Yeah, that's an interest. I mean, I feel like they've got three options. Well, I mean, I don't want to say options, because I think they know what they're going to do. One, they go with Solo Sikoa.
Oh,
the story's already being formed, if that's where they want to go.
Yep.
Two, Roman Reigns comes back to challenge Cody one more time for the title before fully turning face, which the story could also be moving in that direction as well. Three, during or after whatever happens at Money in the Bank, I presume a six-man tag, Cody's going to end up in a six-man tag and take a month off from defending his title, Randy Orton turns on Cody Rhodes and he gets the title match at SummerSlam. I think those are your three options for SummerSlam.
Being
the weakest, obviously.
Maybe similar reasons. I'm not as sold on Solo as I am on Damian Priest. So, if I think that Damian Priest isn't a good option, Solo is definitely not a great option. Like you said, like they are definitely setting that up to be a viable thing. We shall see on that front. But
and then also presumably the first real one-on-one match between Punk and McIntyre. I don't know if that is going to happen because, you know, Drew McIntyre has quit.
I mean, it was kind of an interesting choice that CM Punk could not make it to, where the hell were they?
Corpus Christi, Texas?
Corpus Christi. He could find his way to Scotland, but he could not find his way to Corpus Christi.
He explained that. He's got doctor's appointments this week to determine whether he is going to be medically cleared, and if so, he's going to show up at SmackDown in Chicago and make that announcement.
They already did say that he's going to be on SmackDown.
Yeah, he's going to be on SmackDown in Chicago, and that would be a tremendous opportunity for... I mean, it just writes itself. Drew McIntyre absolutely destroys CM Punk in Chicago. Or at least tries to.
it could fail.
But I do think that McIntyre needs some heat now. He's been embarrassed on three separate occasions by Punk.
Because
I'm including that, you know, that there was that four-way then... the night after on Raw Punk also interfered in.
That one was a much lesser degree. I would call that more the misdemeanor amongst three other felonies.
I Punk doesn't always have to be, you know, head held high in Chicago. You can still... Well, obviously they did it on Saturday. You can still have someone get someone get beat in their hometown or humiliated in their hometown, and as long as you do it sparingly enough to the point where it does feel like a big moment instead of something that some 70-something-year-old man does to get his jollies off.
as long as it doesn't become a trope, like it gets a little bit rough. But I mean, I guess I did find that interesting in general that they're like, the WWE's like, hey, Scotland, we're going to give you a solid to kick off this PLE, and then you're going to lose the rest of the matches that you're involved in.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. They did give them a little. They threw them the smallest bone imaginable. Although, good for Alba Fire and Nyla Dawn. Good for them, especially after what Alba Fire's been through in the last few weeks. So that was a nice moment.
Yes. Yeah. Like they've kind of gotten punked out. Like, I mean, it's looked pretty rough for them. Like, I was A, I thought they actually looked good in the match for
Yeah,
the
they did.
most part. Just because, like, I mean, they just so got handled by Shayna that it was just like, oof, man, this is not great. So yeah, I was happy for them. I think I enjoy both of them as wrestlers. Like, I'm not sure that how high up on the card they're gonna d go, but
I would imagine Bianca and Jade are getting those things back. Fairly quickly. Literally, I don't, it's not making it past Money in the Bank weekend.
yeah, like that. Those two in the inevitable feud, Bianca and Jade, that is, it seems like it's still entirely too early to pull
Yes,
that
it's
trigger.
too early. I mean, if any, that could very well be a WrestleMania match.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not anything big enough on the horizon for that to happen. So, okay, because we skipped from Cody speculation or Seth Rollins coming back to Cody speculation to women's championships. I guess, is there anything more to be said about the Drew and CM Punk stuff?
I mean, not really. Once again,
Not really.
it's really the longest continuous storyline in WWE at this point, unless you count Cody and the Bloodline. I guess, which I guess maybe you do. So maybe it's the second longest, or what have you. Once again,
Right.
it didn't. It's a hot enough issue that it didn't need the championship.
Oh.
So,
Yeah.
it's. You could make an argument, depending on how things go between now and SummerSlam, that it might still feel like the hottest issue heading into SummerSlam or either of the title matches.
Oh. yeah, I mean, it's not unheard of for a I feel like Triple H is more comfortable with running a non-title match as a main event than Vince was, but I still
Yeah,
feel like
I mean,
Vince probably ran a handful of them
I mean,
himself.
I think Cody's match will still go last, but yeah, I could see
Oh.
Punk and McIntyre certainly be a heated issue, and it doesn't necessarily. Also, we've gotten this weird phrase now where we don't expect rematches to actually happen or to feuds that have multiple matches across multiple pay-per-views. I should say, yeah, multiple, yeah, well, yeah. And I think Punk and McIntyre absolutely could do that. I mean, the rumor is already right now that they're gonna do Bad Blood as a pay-per-view, and that has when they did a Bad Blood, that was typically headlined by a Hell in a Cell match. And their feud seemed like it would be tailor-made for that,
Oh,
to get there.
yeah, those two do not really need a whole lot of push to get into a cell match.
Right, but I can also I don't necessarily I don't see their feud being one and done. I see them,
Oh.
you could even justify a wild, no contest type finish, or Drew could win by chicanery so Punk doesn't quite get the big win in the first match. Yeah. So
Oh.
I do see that feud continuing after SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, that's one where I'd be shocked if they don't get at least three matches out of that thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty crazy because they've been barking at each other since January, but other than there was physical interaction on the Royal Rumble, they haven't touched otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, even the. I mean, it was kind of wild that he did that. Drew did not lay hands on him at oh shit, what is it?
Clash at the
Clash of the
Castle?
Castle.
Well, he did try to strangle him.
He did try to. It wasn't.
Which I think, which somebody mentioned it, and I agree that that was a good touch. You know, not trying to do some wrestling move to him, or
No.
throwing a, you know, he tried to strangle that man to death. And oh my God, let's talk about that finish. If you're gonna do a screw job, a screwy finish, that is how you do it. That was creative as hell.
Yeah, that was really like, well, this is another thing that where you're like, well, this could be a Vince thing, but because they do it so little, it doesn't feel overdone. They knew what was happening, basically. Like, they knew where they wanted that camera shot to happen.
Yeah.
So they had to have told one of the people on the floor, like, hey, we need this perfect angle, because I could kind of tell that it didn't look like a regular referee hitting the ring. But because they filmed all back, and it also wasn't one of those unnatural shots, like they had kind of been in that shot already a
Yeah.
little bit. So, like, they had established the angle. So it wasn't, because that was the other thing, is that sometimes you'd see like a camera pan up or pan to the left when Vince was
Right,
in
no.
charge, and it kind of gave away the trick that they're trying to pull. And by keeping the camera still like that for a moment ahead of when the chicanery happened, I yeah just
And if you know, yes,
sh
and if you notice the whole time, all three commentators are staring at their monitors. They're not looking up. So until the camera shows
Oh.
Punk, they really don't know. That's because that's the TV broadcast thing, that even if you're sitting ringside, courtside, whatever, you look at your monitors, so because you call what the TV audience is seeing. Because if you call what's in front of you, that might not be where the
Audience.
camera's is seeing. Yeah,
Yeah.
and yes, yeah, so that was very so that so, so that was really smartly done as well. Great finish. I mean, it is borderline, like, this is the third time, Punk has screwed McIntyre out of a match. Now, the first time, McIntyre absolutely got right in his face and kind of got what he deserved. But this time, it does kind of feel a little bit more like overkill. Like, if you want to say that McIntyre is justified to do what we assume he may very well be doing on Friday. You can justify it and say that McIntyre is right.
Yeah, I do not blame Drew McIntyre for anything that he does to CM Punk at this point. Because it is like, it's one of those things where you can laugh about CM Punk really being a dick. And you can also go, yeah, you should get your ass kicked. Like, you have really screwed with it. Because, I mean, because this one was. The one at WrestleMania, he needed Damian Priest as an accomplice to h really help rub salt into the wound in that situation. This one is just the real FU to McIntyre, I guess. Like, this is
Yeah.
like the other one that was kind of incidental to the situation. He definitely cost him in that one match, but it was only like a tag match or whatever, so it wasn't that big a deal. But This one, yeah, you are really costing him the championship. And I mean the referee got back into the match. You know, this wasn't even a a situation where the original referee was still then replaced and someone else counted the pinfall. You know, so I mean the referee, I guess, was with it enough that yeah, he came to and counted the pinfall. So wild. Yeah. Just that was a fun finish. I was glad that no one gave it away, especially since I ended up two-partering. Well, actually, I just watched the main event by itself because I watched the PLE very late on Saturday evening and caught that match Sunday morning. And yeah, that was I'm glad nothing was given away, and I got to enjoy that in its entirety. So, I'm trying to think of I guess now it's okay to man, that I guess that's the only other match we kind of touched on. Chad Gable a little bit having a, not only did he have a bad Monday, he had a bad weekend in general. The time period that we covered was a rough one for Master Gable, who loses to Sami Zayn and then gets squashed by Braun Strowman on Raw.
Yeah,
And loses his
that happened.
family.
Dad loses his family because finally, Otis had enough. Chad Gable finally pushed him too far. And interestingly, how he was treating Tozawa and not just Maxine. Chad Gable's slapping Tozawa. Otis hearing it, but not seeing it necessarily, but not seeing it, but he knew what happened. He finally shoved Gable down and they all left him. And again, they put the exclamation point on it later in the evening when they packed their bags and left. And again, in some ways, I'm not sure this is going to end with a match between them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's always one of those things that I think is going to happen, but they really could, like, there's not a good solution here, I guess. Like, if you want Otis to be, like, Otis always seems to get a crowd reaction, but I also am not surprised that maybe they're hesitant to have him on top. And I feel like there's a more useful spot for him than the role that he's currently serving, I guess.
Yeah, if
But I
they're gonna
still
keep
think that his ceiling's a
Otis,
little low.
Tozawa, and Maxine together as a trio, especially with Tozawa in there to really, bring it down to just comedy, it's not really gonna go very far.
No, if that stays a comedy bit, that is not good for any of them. It, yeah, well, I guess, yeah, Tozawa kind of is what he is, honestly. Like, I feel like Otis is the only one. Like, Maxine is fighting just a crazy uphill battle.
Yeah, she came around in the wrong era. Every woman is expected to at least be passable in the ring, and she's so far away from being passable in the ring. And it's the company's fault for bringing her up too early and having her spend any time in NXT, wrestling.
No. Yeah, they're definitely making people like that cook a little bit longer these days.
Yeah, and we just don't have just female managers anymore. Could we see? We probably could. We probably should. We have male managers, so why can't we just? We have purely, female managers around, but that's also not what they want to do.
Yeah, that part seems to have, for the most part, stuck around outside of, of course, the Paul Heyman exception. Rough time for Chad Gable. Honestly, I almost expected the Creeds to show up to help take out Otis and Tozawa this
There's
week.
something possibly to that, as we go down the line. That's definitely happening, and it wouldn't surprise me if Gable also takes on a role as coach for one Bron Breakker, who has made his intentions known that he wants the Intercontinental Championship.
And that is it's so easy to talk about WWE camera work these days. The Bron Breakker Ludwig Kaiser confrontation there was yet again another thing of beauty. That that up top shot that they have been using fairly frequently was perfect for that situation. And
yeah,
I mean, Bron Breakker has really been pushed pretty well since moving to Raw.
Yeah.
He did not really find any footing over on SmackDown.
No.
Granted, they didn't really give him that much of a chance. It was still awkward with him and Baron Corbin being champs in NXT and him being on SmackDown also. So, Raw's at least been able to give him a little bit more to bite into. But yeah, he feels like one of those guys that could beat Sami Zayn. Even if it's a weekday matchup, a Raw matchup in the future.
Yeah, no. I think that I think Intercontinental Champion Bron Breakker is definitely in our future. Sammy, once again, does not need the championship to be over and to be in the top mix. So, I think, the Sami Zayn title reign, it can certainly come to an end pretty quickly. And that was the weird thing about how that whole thing went down. Was Sammy just, if Bron hadn't speared Kaiser, was Sammy just going to stand there and let Kaiser break Sheamus's knee?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe?
Yeah, that was so weird. Like he was there, and then it's like he wasn't there. It was totally a chaotic scene. It's like, and like Sammy kind of slipped into the background. It's like, wait a minute, if he's standing there, why wouldn't he stop Kaiser?
I honestly kind of forgot about him in that situation and never didn't rewatch that at all. So, like, I feel like I need a Patastrator segment on that next week, breaking down things like the key swiping from Finn Balor last week. Like,
Well, let's talk about that now. In storylines, is that key card supposed to still be working?
I believe they're saying it's still working, despite the fact that they're in a different location.
That's not how those things work. I hope not.
It's not how they're supposed to work. I will say that. I mean, you can re-key code anything. I mean, you could take it from hotel to hotel, but Liv would need to change it to her hotel key. And you would not really, if you were changing it to someone else's hotel key, that would be concerning. That would be terribly concerning and very, very creepy.
Silliness of that, of that still, of that being, of that behind. Still enjoying this whole thing.
Oh yeah, like this is one where just like everything that they keep on setting up is just kind of cracking me up. Like there's no reason, 'cause what, Liv Morgan starts the taunting during the women's match by coming out in Dom's vest with her championship. And then shows up again and causes problems with Zelina Vega, who I had kind of forgotten that she has a beef with her. I guess that's a good enough matchup for Liv Morgan to win at a pay-per-view or a PLE. Fair enough, I guess, to have that. That is a side feud with Rhea Ripley still on the shelf. But yeah, the Damian Priest continued disappointment. Carlito being the cool uncle who wants Dom Dom to get him some, and JD McDonagh doing JD McDonagh things. It is such a weird alchemy that is cracking me up, and Liv Morgan is just being such a tease too, with pretty much everything. And she is really, I feel like this was the first week that maybe you could see. And tell me if this is a little far-fetched that that Liv Morgan is leading the group, or at least has JD and Dom on her side.
Yeah, it's again, she's going to take everything from Rhea Ripley. So I mean, that is coming, where she takes over,
Oh.
where she essentially does take over the group that will presumably be minus Damian Priest, which means minus their heavy hitter. So that'll be interesting to see how that group can go on with essentially Finn Balor as their as their main male single star. Which again, nothing wrong with Finn, but he's been kind of, put
He's been
down a
in the
peg
back.
for a while. He's been in the background.
Yeah.
He's, yeah.
For sure. Like as much as his work has been a lot better, well, not wrestling work, but it feels like he has a character even if he's second in command, and I feel like he's more of a person now rather than depending upon the demon thing. And I think that's good for him. I mean, he's still going to be around because didn't he just re-sign recently? So, yeah, I mean, he kind of needed at least a character tweak, and I feel like that's been accomplished. But yeah, he hasn't been super serious, though, which is kind of the main problem. Like, if he's the head of your group, it's kind of like the similar to the Wyatt Six. It's like, eh. Like no one's really the head of the group. Like Finn's the most accomplished, but definitely if it's a "what have you done for me lately" type of business, as numerous wrestling announcers have told me over the years, Finn Balor has not done a whole lot for me recently. So yeah, that's kind of a weird head of any faction. So, it's really been enjoyable, and it'll be interesting when Rhea Ripley gets back, or how they continue this whole thing. Like, unless Rhea's coming back soon, like this almost seems like it's too soon. How much re havoc she's wreaking with the Judgment Day.
I mean, with Seth coming back out of nowhere, maybe Rhea can make it back in time for to have a match at SummerSlam.
Uh-oh.
But who knows? I mean, if not, I mean, obviously Zelina's the sacrificial lamb for Money in the Bank, and then, you know, you could run something else at SummerSlam if you need to.
Yeah, they have plenty of people on that roster that they could get to and not damage too many people. Hey, we could always throw Natalya in there, you know, what the hell. So I'm trying to think of other big items on Raw without looking at the review itself, and it's that exercise is failing. One thing, I guess it Clash of the Castle that we alluded to a little bit, but we could cover. Not surprising, Bayley ends up taking out Piper Niven and retaining her, which one is that, WWE Women's Championship.
Yes, yes, she did do that. As expected, she successfully retained her title. Seemingly a mixed reaction. I mean, Europe has always loved them some Bayley, but Scotland, but Glasgow, Scotland was, you know, more behind Piper Niven. The match was well done. It was a fun match. Chelsea Green was definitely, you know, played her part in it, and actually raised the match up with her antics. You once again, we're telling the story of Bayley slaying these monsters now, and she got past the first one, and the next one or the last one is going to be Nia Jax at SummerSlam.
Yeah. I don't know who they can really have on the docket for Money in the Bank.
Then it'll probably be no one. They don't need that match. No, I mean, Money in the Bank will probably only have five or six matches. So, and two of those are going to be ladder matches. We already know it's going to be Rollins and Priest. We can assume there's going to be Cody Rhodes is going to be involved with the Bloodline in a six-man tag. We can talk about that in a minute as well. We're going to have Liv Morgan versus Zelina Vega, and then either that's it, or maybe they might add one more match. Depending if the show's going to be 3 or 4 hours. I mean, if they want to go a four-hour show here, it probably won't be more than six. Because the Money in the Bank matches are so long.
I mean, those things are like short ones are low 20s, and long ones
plus entrances, not including entrances.
And long ones are like 30 plus. So
yeah,
they're not Royal Rumble length, but they do chew up an awful lot of time. That is a short card, and I did like that about Clash of the Castle. Like, I think
I've grown to like these short cards. But I've also grown to like these short cards in the afternoon. I know you're never home, Mr. Social Butterfly, but for me, it's nice to get this done. And then if I want to go out at night, it can be.
No, I was trying to help the butterflies and getting weeds out of my garden while this pay-per-view was on. So
wild, man.
Yep, I was doing the fun stuff while this show was on. So what was that that you mentioned that we needed to get to? Because there really isn't a lot to say about Bayley in that situation.
I guess we probably have to go back to SmackDown and the solo Kevin Owens match, which before the match started, the Tongans were banned from ringside by Nick Aldis after they jumped the Street Profits. So, you know, Solo had to go it alone. Although Paul Heyman did do it, you know, put a well-timed foot on the rope just to avoid his own doom, because for some reason Solo blamed Paul Heyman for the Tongans being banned from ringside and was going to physically harm Paul if he lost this match. Still no idea why Paul keeps going down to the ring with them.
Yeah, it just seems like don't show up there.
Yeah, it's a part of the story. Yeah, if you really think about it, Paul Heyman has a contract. It's with Roman Reigns, not with Solo and the rest of them. He probably doesn't have to actually doesn't have to appear, and we're essentially under the impression that Roman Reigns hasn't actually talked to any of these people. Solo says he's talked to Roman Reigns, but it's going to turn out that Roman Reigns, for some reason, is just completely incommunicado, which is insane in 2024 that he hasn't at least looked down on his phone and seen what's been going on at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he has
It's a tough
all of
storyline.
his alerts turned off. His Google feed is not filling up with pro wrestling stories about his cousin gone wild.
That's amusing. But in the end, Solo did get the win over Kevin Owens, and then after the match was over, it was the Tongans had free rein to jump Kevin Owens, leading to the return of Randy Orton to a gigantic pop in Glasgow. And Orton and Owens stood tall at the end. Then the next day, we get our Cody Rhodes AJ Styles I Quit match. Good
Oh, yeah.
match. But probably not as good as the straight mat wrestling match they had at Backlash, honestly. And not quite the as great of a crowd, although still a great crowd.
Yeah, if we're going by European rankings, Glasgow, a little bit lower on the list, than some other places at the current moment.
Yes. And so, Cody gets the win over AJ Styles, but after the match, he is confronted by Solo Sikoa and jumped by the Tongans. It's 3-on-1 until Randy Orton and Kevin Owens appear. That presumably sets up the six-man tag for Money in the Bank, which I makes perfect sense. Cody doesn't really have a perfect opponent for Money in the Bank. So we can save a Cody title defense for the month, but still have Cody on the show
Oh,
because
yep.
Cody seems to be the only person who's a prerequisite for all of these shows to be on every show.
Yeah.
We can just match everyone else, but Cody, and for some reason Bianca and Jade, it seems, are the only people who have to be on every show. And so so we'll get that six-man tag, and presumably the end results of that will be what sets up Cody's title defense at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I forgot that we had kind of talked about that from a side view, but not really broken down. So yeah, that there was kind of a lot going. Because I've got to admit, I did my usual. I'm not watching SmackDown because there's the pay-per-view on Saturday.
Yeah,
Situation.
sometimes I do that, although this week I had no reason to be out and nothing else really to do, so I watched it anyway. And the international shows like that are more fun than maybe a typical SmackDown will be. Now, Toronto and 4th of July weekend, I'll probably make a point of watching the pay-per-view. I'm staying on Saturday night and watch the pay-per-view, but probably not the Friday night of SmackDown.
Yeah, that makes a good deal of sense. Yeah, it all depends upon what's going on. Usually watching something with the wife. That and yeah, I like to watch some of my non-wrestling shows Friday evening.
That's understandable,
So yeah, end up saving these things for later. So yeah, there was the Cody Rhodes stuff, and yeah, it does seem like we're destined for a six-man match with him involved, and that, like you said, it's fine. He doesn't really have a good viable opponent at this juncture, so yep, that works for me.
Yeah, I could tell they've been biding time before having him, interact with the Bloodline again, which is really what they've been doing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they've done a good job of rebuilding ish the bloodline. I feel like they know that. I mean, they wouldn't talk about everything being unhinged if they didn't want that angle to be out there. Solo might not be for the part, but he's also not supposed to be the part anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a show out of him at some point. He's not, I'm not the most impressed by him. I know people say that when Jacob Fatu inevitably debuts, he'll show up solo in every way, and he may very well. Have you seen that Hikulio, the third son of Haku, is now also making his way going to be making his way into WWE and presumably into the
Oh.
Bloodline story. Yeah, at least the
No.
story line.
Did not. I forgot that he was around because I believe he was on the tail end of some of those New Japan shows that I was watching. Like, he was
Yeah.
just starting out. And I
And he
kind of.
had a cup of coffee on SmackDown, about 10 years ago. That
Okay,
didn't really
yep.
work out very well, but now we are fully invested into pushing these Polynesian wrestlers who have familial blood ties to the to say our to you know the Bloodline and Roman Reigns and The Rock, etc. Even though it's not technically Haku and his family. Well, because they're from Tonga, it's a separate
Yes,
island,
it is a separate
but they've all
island.
been very close for very long, and they consider themselves family. And I'm not going to argue with any of these people, especially Haku. I like my nose where it is.
Haku, always props to that gentleman. Loved him before hearing the stories, so. That only just helps out the Meng wig there in WCW was just a thing of beauty.
Oh, that thing was immaculate, yes.
So wow, yeah, that's a lot of Samoans and Tongans to have in your employ. And I mean, it'd be wild if there's two different Samoan slash Tongan factions within the WWE at any single moment.
It is pretty wild, yeah. It's definitely.
Because that's a lot of anyone to be on the roster. Like, I was almost honestly surprised at how many Scottish people were on the WWE roster. I'm like, hold on, there's four of them?
Five.
Five? Oh,
No,
Nikki
wait.
Cross. I forgot
Oh,
about
yeah.
Nikki
That's right. That's
Cross.
right. I wasn't even thinking. Yeah. It's Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross. So yeah, it's five. Five Scottish.
So, moving up to six plus part-time Rock there, making it seven if you feel like counting that way. That's hold on, am I not counting Roman Reigns right now? Because we got
Are you
three
not
right.
counting? Are you not counting Jimmy?
Oh, or Jay.
Jimmy or Jay? Yes.
Good Lord. Yeah, no, this number keeps on going up a little bit higher than I expected it to. Holy smokes. We're pushing double digits now that I
Yes.
realize it. Oh my God. I guess I needed to say that out loud for it to completely sink in. Oh, that occasionally happens. It's been something. They're definitely moving that story forward, and it'll be I feel like the Solo is a fraud thing is gonna end up coming eventually, but it might be a while before that ends up happening.
Yeah.
So So that does it for that. Trying to think of what else may have happened on Raw that was worth talking about. Because I think we've gotten most of it covered now. Because, yeah, Breaker, Zayn, Liv Morgan stuff with Judgment Day. Yeah, there was not a lot left there. So unless you really feel like talking about Karrion Kross tormenting New Day and New Day being foreshadowed to maybe break up.
Yeah, no, that transition from what Cross was saying about Kofi and Xavier's relationship to the graphic that literally said Kofi Kingston with Xavier Woods
Yeah, I mean
was pretty well done.
they really set that segment up to lead to at least some type of schism there with those two because
Although I'm not really sure what this can all can lead to, because we know Kofi and Xavier are both getting old. They've been doing the same thing for a very, very long time. They have been doing the same thing for a very long time, and we know we can pretty much at this point say Big E's never getting cleared to return. I guess maybe never completely say never, but it's not looking good or anytime soon. And but of course, once again, they are both, getting older. Kofi especially, we've seen him try to do some of the leaping stuff that he used to do and miss and or fall. I don't know if anyone really wants to see them wrestle each other.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Are they better apart? They don't really have anything to do. Like, it's kind of weird where if they lose too much as a tag team, the whole, New Day run kind of gets worn out. You know what I mean? Like, you can
Yeah.
only go back to that so many times.
And Kofi's already gotten his gold watch singles run. So what else is what else really is there?
Yeah, it's so weird because yeah, like Xavier Woods, like he's another guy where it's just like I in some ways I understand what Karrion Kross is saying, but I am also like he's not gonna
He would
be
not fit in
above
your
King
group
of the
either.
Ring. Like he's not going above King of the Ring, you know what I mean? Like maybe US or IC champion, but that's oof. I'm not even sure about that.
It's just been such a long run, and I understand why it means something to people that they've stayed together this long, and it would there's probably people who would be very upset if they ever broke up.
No.
And I might say I'd be upset if I broke up, but at the same time, it's just where does it go from here? There's just no place for them at the top at anywhere. It seems like there's no place for them anywhere in the card except just, losing more than they win.
Yeah. And I guess I don't see the solution be for them to be singles players. But yeah, I don't know what you do with those two, Yeah, it's just they're like you said, like they've just been around so long that something needs to be freshened up, but I don't know how you accomplish that exactly. I
Yeah,
mean,
I don't either.
they're trying to do it with whatever they're presenting here.
I think you could possibly repackage Woods more than you can repackage Kofi, because Kofi's been around that much longer. Kofi's been around 15, 16 years at this point. Consistently on TV every week, unless he was injured for a few.
And he hasn't really been injured that much. Like,
No, I don't think so. No, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like he has. I feel like maybe Woods has been out with more injuries, actually, over time than.
Yeah, like I know that Kofi's had a couple of injuries here or there, but yeah, considering his shelf life in the WWE, he's been remarkably durable. So yeah, that is something that yeah, I'm not sure where they go one way or the other. Like I think it's interesting TV, but I don't know what the ultimate end is to all of that. So I guess did you end up watching AEW Collision this week, sir?
I did, and I really don't want to turn this into a long, drawn-out review of Collision. I've had a long day.
It was their 1A. There were a couple of things. I'm like, hold on, Collision's only been on for a year now?
Yeah, that's feels like so much has happened because remember, in a time since it was supposed to be Punk's show to. How that all turned out, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess it just feels like because it was supposed to be Punk's show, like I'm like, shouldn't it be 2 years old now? Maybe, like, I guess that's what my brain is telling me, and clearly that is not the case. That part was interesting, and it was also wild to me that when the Acclaimed was talking, for AEW supposedly being a tag team haven, the fact that the two of their top tag teams, the Acclaimed and the Young Bucks, haven't wrestled since 2020 is pretty wild to me.
I have no memory of that. Yeah, no. I mean, it's okay. I
Yeah,
thought we
they.
were done pushing the Acclaimed. I really did. I thought, after Max Caster got, exposed over and over again as, being, a very shitty rapper if you really pay attention to the lyrics, and just, we've got 60-year-old Billy Gunn still going out and towering over everyone, and Bowens is fine but nothing special. And the scissory thing, ran its course. But no, we decided to try to reheat them up. It's a very odd decision because, the Young Bucks are going from feuding with FTR and Bryan Danielson and Darby Allin and Eddie Kingston to the Acclaimed.
The only draw is that Swerve is in there.
Yeah, they're gonna do stuff with Swerve. But oh man, Swerve having to
But
put
yeah.
over the Acclaimed and pretend like Max Caster's raps are good. Oh, that's not gonna be good for him either. Whatever, it's gonna really douse fire on his cool factor, which sounds like a weird analogy, but that's where I went with it.
I at least understand what you mean at a minimum, even if
Mixed metaphor, the metaphors are mixed. Dousing on fire, I'm cool. Yes, but yeah, no, yeah, very, yeah.
Well,
Very,
especially
I'm
since
very, go ahead.
Caster just doesn't. He almost knows that the raps are shitty now. Like, it's one of those things
He's
where
doing it on
if.
purpose. He's doing it on purpose to piss off the haters. It's kind of a you think on the internet, basically, because that's what we need to book more to the internet.
Yeah,
Books and
that's one of
sickos.
those.
That's gonna be on. That might end up on AEW's gravestone someday. I book for the sickos.
Oh my gosh, I was about dying on X today when the coach of all people was like, oh yeah, Sasha Banks went to the Boston Celtics game to remember what a full arena looked like. And I'm like, God damn, that is cold, sir.
That is
That
cold.
is that is extremely cold. Oh man. He's not wrong, but frigid. Yeah, there wasn't like for being the 1 year anniversary, there just wasn't that much special about that show. Like, and I think you and I have talked about it. Like, it's really the last thing that I think about watching these days. Yeah. Like, Dynamite is still a pretty easy watch. Rampage, I haven't looked at my YouTube TV account to know how many episodes I'm behind, but it's a lot. Yeah, in Collision, I feel like I've kind of kept up on it for the most part, but it just really hasn't stuck at all.
No,
and
this one wasn't any different. It doesn't typically stuck. That was just a particular Saturday night. It's just like, I'd already had a few drinks and whatnot during the day, and I was just like, kind of buzzed. I'm like, I don't want to watch something I actually have to pay attention to, so I threw through my Collision.
Well, yep, you didn't have to pay attention because we didn't overdraw the review. I think that's good enough for Collision for this week. So I will mention that my Belltime beer, I had thrown it in the fridge. It was one of my real specialty beers from Wolf's Ridge Brewing. Chocolate Cherry Blanton's Dire Wolf, barrel-aged Imperial Stout, 10.8% alcohol. They have the Imperial Stout just itself. It's called Dire Wolf, and they fermented it with tart Mortensen cherries, then aged it in the barrels with cocoa nibs and vanilla. This beer, like many of the aged beers from Wolf's Ridge Brewing, are top notch. Should one find themselves in Columbus, definitely go to Wolf's Ridge Brewing. They have a lot of good variety. They have a nice dark barrel-aged beers. They have good IPAs. And even if you're looking for just kind of your lager central, they have a good Mexican lager and a very good Pilsner. So, yep, go ahead and check them on out. They are throughout the state of Ohio. So that is the hashtag Belltime Beer from @DeFrango11. He is @StuntCali. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.